Jeremiah 17. Today is a day where we actually find ourselves in two passages that we're going to be looking at to help us understand just the essentials of our spiritual growth. And so I want to take you to the passage. I thought, speaking of God ordaining things and doing things, this morning was the first time Levi was able to stand down and just teach the Word of God to the church. And so the very first passage he ever preaches or teaches is 1 John 3. And when we come to Jeremiah 17 in verse 5, this is the very first passage that I ever spoke at. And that was a hobo party at Bob Lamb's house on a hay bale. I'll never forget it. And this is the passage that I had the opportunity to speak on. So Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Let's pray. Lord, we need you. We need to hear from you. Lord, school's back in swing. Lives are back in fast forward. And Lord, it's so easy for us to continue desiring to grow and doing it in the flesh. Lord, it's so easy for us to do holy things and have your name nowhere near it and your spirit nowhere near it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would illuminate your scripture to us here in Jeremiah 17. And Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, this has been one of the busiest weeks I've had in a long, long time. And I'm tired. And Lord, I need you. And I need you to speak. And I need you to speak to my soul and to my heart. So, Lord, I pray that we would sit with expectation, Lord, that we would open our hearts and open our minds to be receptive to your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. May you be seated. Thank you. Jeremiah 17 in verse 5 and through 8 are a passage of scripture I come to quite frequently. And they may be special to you too, these verses. But if you remember last week, we had a picture of these two individuals. One builds his house upon the rock, one builds his house upon the earth. Remember that? One digs deep and builds a foundation, one doesn't. Both of them have the same house. They probably had the same floor plan. They probably looked exactly the same. And they both went through the same hard times. And yet one continues to stand and one doesn't. Why? Because the other one's not really standing. They're standing on the rock. And because the rock stands firm, they're able to stand firm. Well, just like we have two different people there, we have two different trees mentioned here. You have one tree in verses 5 and 6 that is, the Bible says, cursed. All right, so yeah, sorry, it's one man and another man, and he kind of likens them to these trees. This first man is cursed because he's trusting in himself or he's trusting in another man. And then in verse 7, you have this other one that's blessed because he's trusting in the Lord and his hope is the Lord. And I think this is very interesting and a good passage for us to come to just because I like word pictures, right? I'm a very visual kind of guy. And so, sorry, Jen, you just like had me. Right there. Sorry. All right, so here we go. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Here it is. "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man." All right, that can be yourself. That can be a pastor. That can be a Sunday school teacher. That can be your parents. That can be anybody else. And you're going to trust in yourself. Then make flesh your arm, he says. Make flesh your arm, right? You say, we're going to do this. We're going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to have my relationship with God. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust in myself. I'm going to trust in man. And here's what's happened when you do that. Last part of verse 5. Your heart has departed from the Lord. God no longer has your heart. He no longer has your heart when you're trusting in yourself and when you begin to trust in others. And so how do we know, what's the indicator that I'm beginning to get fleshly? What's an indicator that I'm beginning to separate myself from the Lord and go after a fleshly thing? So here's what happens, verse 6. For he shall be, what's the word? Like, another important word in Scripture, right? For he shall be like the heath, not a heath bar. He should be like a heath. What is he talking about? It's a juniper tree that is stripped bare and naked. You ever seen a tree with no bark? No leaves, hardly any branches left on it. It is just, go to Western Kansas, you'll see plenty of them. Bare, stripped bare, nothing. It's just a dead tree out all by itself. That's what he's given us, this visual. He shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. You ever found yourself there? You ever found yourself in a spot where you are just dry? You're just dry. It's like, God, where are you? Man, there's times where I find myself in just a dry spot. In a time where I feel like I'm just in a desert, and the wind comes up and you want to stop because it's just horrible and just permeates to your soul. He says, you're inhabiting the parched places in the wilderness. Look at this, in a salt land, and I think this is the big key. Here it is. It's not inhabited. Why is it not inhabited? Because nobody can live there. And if you ever find yourself, you feel like you're in the desert, and you look around and you see nobody else, and you look at yourself and you say, there's no fruit, I have nothing, and you're all by yourself, and you're all by yourself, that's usually an indicator you're in the flesh and you're trusting in yourself. And you will end up alone and separate from anybody and everybody else. And you can be in a church surrounded by people that love you and you love them, and you'll still be all by yourself with no fruit, no joy, no happiness, and you look around and you have no hope. It doesn't rain in the desert, right? You don't have a whole lot of friends in the desert. And you don't make a whole lot of friends in the desert. There's no joy. There's nothing. And I know some of you can identify with that because, man, there's days that I get that way too. Isn't it amazing when you turn your back on the Lord or you begin to trust in yourself? I think it's amazing that that's when you begin to isolate yourself. Right? This isn't that everybody else walked away. Usually it's because you walked away from them. And you begin to isolate yourself. And that's exactly what happens here. So if you're in a spot there and you're tempted, you know what, I'm not coming to church. Or if I do, I'm just going to come in, I'm just going to sit still, I'm not going to let anybody talk to me, I'm just going to be there. You're by yourself. And you're not letting anybody pour into you, and you're definitely not pouring into anybody else. And when you look in the mirror and you look at your life, you just feel like a stripped bare tree. It's bare naked with nothing to offer. Does anybody ever feel like that? Man, I think we all feel like that at some point in time. Maybe that's where you are today. The Bible says the reason that's being is the end of verse 5. Your heart has departed from the Lord. You can still be doing holy things. You can still be putting Jesus bumper stickers on stuff and still have no heart for the Lord. So I want to flip this coin on its head and look at verse 7. Because this is where the victory is. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. What's that word blessed mean? It means happy, true joy, overflowing joy. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Okay, so I'm trusting in the Lord. What does that mean? I'm trusting in His ability and not my own. You see that? Trust in His ability, not my own. But then he says, and whose hope the Lord is. Doesn't mean you hope in the Lord. It means the Lord is your hope. It's the person who the Lord is. We got to get that. You can trust in the Lord, and then God's got to be your hope. He's got the person of who he is. And that's exactly what he says. Blessed is the man that trusts in the man. Oh, sorry. Blessed is the man. That'd be a bad scripture right there. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So you're trusting in God's ability and God's promises, because God always ties himself to his word, doesn't he? And as we read the word of God, it's his hope. Now, verse 8. Now, here's our word picture. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Anybody else want to like live right there? Amen. Hello, can I get me some of that? How? Right? I think that would be the question we'd be all asking. How? So last week, we need the foundation. Here, you see in verse 8, God's the provision. You can set your feet on a rock all day long, but if you don't allow any moisture into you, you don't allow any nutrient into you, you don't allow any provision into you, you will not grow. Amen? Amen. And so that's what he's talking about here. I need the foundation, but also needs God's provision. And so I've got two main points here in Jeremiah. Then we're going to go to Colossians 2. I'm going to get two main points there, and we're going to be done. So this is probably one of the shortest messages you probably ever hear me preach. But I hope it's one of the most impactful messages and one of those that you can put in your pocket and take home with you. Because look what he says, verse 8 again. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Here's your first point. You ready? My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of soil that I'm planted in. Did you get that? I know I talk about farming and I talk about gardening all the time, acting like I know what I'm talking about. I'm clueless. And Wendy Frog is holding me accountable to this thing. So I got to figure this thing out. I'm going to grow some tomatoes next year. And that's it. But I'm going to try something, right? Maybe a jalapeno pepper. Because they go good together. All right, so here's your first point. You got to get this. My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of the soil I plant myself in. Where have you planted yourself? Because in verse 8, he says, you're like a tree. When you trust the Lord and when God is your hope. You see this? He didn't just say God, did he? In verse 7, what does he say? Lord. We believe in God, but is God your Lord? Because when he's your Lord, you're trusting his ability, not your own. Right? And his hope the Lord is. So he is my hope. So I'm trusting in his ability, his promises, and they says, when you're doing that, you are just like somebody that's planted yourself by the water. Psalm 1 should be just chugging through your brain, because Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1 essentially say the exact same thing. So he says, be planted by the waters. What is the water referred to in Scripture? It's the Word of God. Consistently, as you come and see the word waters, it always points to God's word. And so if you want to grow spiritually, where do you need to plant yourself? In the Bible. In the word of God. In the Bible. Well, I've got my KJV. It's big and black and got a wide margin. Praise the Lord. But you got to spread your roots. Because it's not enough to plant there if the roots don't spread. Amen? I've planted some things before, and I didn't plant it by the water. I just stuck it out there and expected God to take care of that thing, and I didn't water it. And so because I didn't water it, the roots didn't spread. And so the very first point, you got to find out where you're planted. Are you planted in the Word of God? Are you putting yourself in a position to grow? Because you will never grow spiritually if you're not planted yourself in the Word of God. Do you have a consistent time where you are in the Word of God for yourself? That's a good question. Do you have a consistent time where you're in the Word of God for yourself? Because if you're not in the Word, you can't grow. If you're not in the Word, you can't hear what God says. And if you can't hear what God says, then you're going to be listening to what everybody else says. And it's not long until your heart departs from the Lord and you go chasing after man. And next thing you know, you look around, you're by yourself, and you're stripped bare naked in a desert land. My spiritual growth is determined by the soil that I'm planted in. Okay, verse 8 again. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Why is it important that the roots spread? Why is it so important that those roots spread? Because here's your second point. Ready? Second point. You're like, man, this is short. Ready? My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of my root system. My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of my root system. It's important to have your own quiet time with the Lord. Would you agree? Extremely important. But if that's the only place you plant yourself, your growth is going to be limited because your root goes straight down. And as soon as the dark times come, as soon as the wind shows up, what's going to happen? You're going to fall over quick. Those roots provide stability, don't they? And those roots give you to all these different nutrients. And so, yes, you need to plant yourself in the water or by the waters and then allow your roots to spread. So I'm going to be at church. I'm going to listen to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's one of my roots. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be engaged in a Bible study at the college because that's another root system I can put out. I'm going to spread my root over here. And you know what? I'm going to engage with any ladies throughout the week, maybe through email, through phone or whatever. Hey, that's another root system, right? And I just begin to spread my roots amongst each other, right? And man, there's strength in that. Your spiritual growth is determined by the strength of your root system, by the quality of your roots. And if your root only goes straight down, and if the only place you get the Bible is on Sunday morning, there's a reason you're not growing. That's the truth. And I got to shoot it straight. If the only time you're in the Word of God is on Sunday morning when I say, let's open up to whatever, there's a reason you're not growing in the Lord. You can't say you've planted yourself by the waters. Spread your root. Sunday morning should be very important, yes. Your quiet time is more important than that. Every day, you should be in the Word of God. But man, spread those roots out to wherever you can possibly get more and more and more. Why? Verse 8. Why? Here's why. When you spread out your roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. In other words, heat's coming. The tough time is coming. Isn't it amazing to you, like when the hard times come, it doesn't like just ease into it. It just like shows up. Isn't it amazing? It's like that's what God does. It's like hard time. You're welcome. You don't edge into it. It's not like you're 0 to 60. It doesn't do that. It's just like, bam, 60 mile an hour. You're going nuts right into hard times, into difficult times. And it's miserable. But what's amazing is when you're planted by the waters, you're trusting in the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? You're trusting in the Lord. And God's promises, your hope is there. The hard times come. Difficulty comes, the heat shows up, and I've still got nutrient. I've still got water flowing inside of me. Why? Because I'm not looking to myself for the source. I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to Him as the source of my life. And the hard times come and the heat's coming, but man, let me tell you, when you're planted by the waters, when you spread out your roots by the river, guess what? The heat comes and you hardly even recognize it. It's like, oh, yeah, it is kind of hot here. But I'm fine. My leaf is still green. You know what he says? It shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. In other words, when I'm growing in the Lord, I'm not going to shrivel up when the heat comes. Amen? I'm not going to shrivel up when the heat comes. I'm going to keep moving forward. Why? Because I'm trusting in God's ability. I live because He lives. That's the thing. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, I live because He lives, because there's water, because my roots are in the water. The heat can come, and yet nothing's going to take me out. I'm going to keep persevering. I'm not going to shrivel up when the heat comes. Oh, check this out, last part of verse 8. Oh, yeah, so what about when the heat just persists and persists. Anybody else's yard dying? I like to say amen when that happens, because that means I don't have to mow anymore. Right? Man, things are starting to die out there. Why? Because it hasn't rained. It hasn't rained. So what happens when the heat just comes, and tomorrow the heat's even worse, and the next day it just gets worse, and the next day it just seems to get worse, and you're like, hey, where do I get some shade? Where's the cloud? Right? And you look off in the distance, you're like, hey, check it out, there's clouds. And they never show up at your door. They never show up at your house. My neighbor said, hey, we got a 4-inch rain on the way from Ottawa yesterday. I said, you're kidding me. Where's the rain? She goes, yeah, 4 inches over here and over here. There's like a 4 inch between every drop. I'm like, don't tease me. So what happens when the heat comes and it persists and it goes from one day to seven and from seven to 14 and from 14 to 21? And next thing you know, you're 3 months into it and you haven't seen a drop of rain. The Bible calls that a drought. Then what do? Time to uproot? Find yourself another river? Find yourself another source? That's not what the Bible says. You're not careful in the moment of drought. In other words, you're not anxious. You're not scared. You're not worried. That's what he says in the last part of verse 8. And so you're not careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you guys see this? I shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, I'm not going to worry about what tomorrow brings or what tomorrow doesn't bring. I'm going to focus on what God has brought me. Amen? I want to focus on what God has brought me. I've talked to some of you. You've made it very clear that you were in a moment of drought and you're made in a hard time and you're in a spot where you just don't know, where do I go? What do I do? Why am I not growing? Why do I feel like I'm empty? Sometimes God brings us to the wilderness because we need it. We need to learn the value of water in the wilderness. Right? We need to know the value of who the Lord is in the wilderness and in the hard times. Find out what's really going on in your heart. But he says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Okay, that sounds like Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Right? So he says, I'm not going to be careful. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to stew. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord, and he is my hope. I'm trusting in the Lord, and he's come through in so many times in my life, and yet I think he can probably come through on this one too. But he's my hope. He's my hope! I don't know if we get that. He's my hope. He's my hope. Last part of verse 8. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And I see this all the time. Somebody's growing in the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. They're planted in the Word of God. The roots are, they're plugged into every place they can get more nourishment from the Lord. And guess what? The heat comes. They're like, hey, no sweat. I'm serving the Lord. And the heat keeps pouring on and pouring on and pouring on and pouring on and pouring on. And they're looking around. Everything else is dying, but I'm still growing. Maybe it's time for me to shut down for a few moments. Maybe it's time that I stop bearing fruit. Maybe it's time for me to conserve energy here. Maybe it's time for me to go in on myself and go into self-preservation mode. That's not what this verse says. When you're trusting in the Lord, when the Lord is your hope, you continue to bear fruit even in the darkness. You continue to bear fruit in the midst of a drought. You continue to grow through it. And I love what Alan Shelby says, one of my favorite preachers. If you don't grow through what you go through, you're going to continue to go through it. That's why you're in it. If you don't grow through it, you're going to continue to go through it. And that is very, very powerful. If you don't grow through what you go through, you're going to continue to endure it. I don't want to cease from yielding fruit. I should be yielding fruit in the drought and the moments of torrential rains. I should be always yielding fruit. Why? Because that's what God has called us to do. Well, how do I do that? Because I'm not doing it in and of myself. I'm doing it in Him. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, ye are the You're the branches. Just abide in me. And you abide in me, what's going to happen? You're going to bear forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of the soil I plant myself in. My spiritual growth is determined by the quality of my root system. Colossians chapter 2. Man, this should be an encouraging passage for you. This should be an encouraging message to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I want to wait till all the pages stop because I want you to see this. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's one around you somewhere. Steal your neighbors, pull them close, hug. Let's read this. Let's read the Word of God together. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Did you see it? Did you see the two words that are most important in that passage? Let's read it again and see if you see them again. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. He's not done. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you have this idea of roots again and building up as in a building. He's laying this out for us. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In other words, live in Him. Exist in Him. That's what that word walk means. The way you carry yourself, the way you live, your conversation, your life being, who you are, let it be in Him. As you have therefore received, did you receive Christ? Okay, you missed it. Did you receive Christ? If you've met Christ as your Savior, that should change your life. It should change who you are. He says, live in Him, walk in Him, exist in Him. Not for Him, but in Him. You missed the amen right there. Not for Him, but in Him. That's the key. In other words, I'm going to plant myself in Him, because my spiritual growth determines where I plant myself. I'm planting myself in the right soil. I'm planting it in Christ. Not in a church. Huh? Not in a church. Not in a cool vision statement. Go bring build. Very important. I'm not planting myself in that. Not in D2 lessons and not in discipleship 1. I'm planting it in Christ. All those other things are where I place my roots. But I'm planting myself in Christ. Why? Because the soil is very important. I want to do it in Him. Verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Him. No plant grows without roots. They don't. Even those nasty weeds. No plant grows without roots. So he says, rooted and built up. So where should I focus? Man, I want to grow. Root yourself. Get rooted. Why? Because the strength of your spiritual walk is determined by the quality of your roots, right? So I'm going to get root. Rooted myself. Built up, what? In Him. Established in the faith as you've been taught. Third point, ready? Third point, relying on God's promises will provide me with stability. Relying on God's promises will provide me with stability. Look what he says again in verse 7, established in the faith, how? As you've been taught. You've been taught the Word of God? Live it. Rely on it. Study it. Hang on it. Live it. Claim the promises of God. It's true victory there, isn't there? Relying on God's promises is going to provide me with true stability. That word established is different than established. Established means I'm on the rock. Established means I'm finding my stability on the rock. Established means I'm learning to trust the rock. Established means I'm learning to grow on the rock. Big difference. Big difference. So I want to be established. I want to be stabilized. I want to be stable. And how do I do that? In the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as you've been taught. Have you been discipled? Are you really plugging in to the Word of God? Are you really being taught the Word of God? Because we read it downstairs, Colossians 1:28, in whom we preach Christ to every man that we may present every man, right? Perfect in Christ. That's the goal. We want every man, and we want every leader. We want to train people as you've been taught. Why is it so important that I be stable? Why is it so important that I be stable? The winds are going to blow. They're going to go nuts. The difficult time is going to come. And if your roots aren't right, if you're not stable, you will topple over and fall. But that's not the only reason we need to be stable. I need to be able to withstand the storm. I need to be able to withstand the hard times. But also need to be able to withstand the fruit. You've got to be able to withstand the fruit. So let me tell you this. You ready? Ministry is tough. It's exhausting. And it wears you out. And sometimes the weight of the fruit just weighs you down. If you're not careful, it'll cause you to fall. It'll cause you to stumble. It'll cause you to quit. Spread your roots. You be stable. And you fight with everything you got because you're not doing it in and of yourselves. You're doing it in the Lord. Amen? He is my. He's who I trust in. And it's His promises that I rest on. Got to have roots. Because without the roots, you're never going to be stable. Because the tough times come. And sometimes the fruit is heavy. And you got to be able to stand. I don't know if that was for you, but I think that was definitely for me. Look what he says at the last part of verse 7. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. He didn't say growing therein with thanksgiving. He didn't say that. He said abounding. Abounding. What does that mean, to abound? It means you don't even have a place to put the fruit. You're struggling with a way. You can can as many cans of sauce as you can do, but you got to find a place to put it, right? That's what it means to abound. That you continue to grow, and you continue to grow, and you continue to grow, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, here's your fourth point, and probably the most important one of the day. Here it is. Let's work this thing backwards. What's the very last word of verse 7? What's it say? Thanksgiving. That means I'm trusting in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. He gets the praise. He gets the thanks. He gets it all. Why? Because when I bring the sacrifice of praise, and when He gets the fruit of my lips, and when He gets all the thanksgiving, here's your fourth point. I'm relying on God's ability. Because when I rely on God's ability, it reveals my inability. That's the most important thing you can get today. Do not rely on your ability. Rely on His ability. And the only way you're going to overcome that is to open your mouth and give Him the praise. Amen? Amen? He demands the praise. He deserves the praise. He gets the praise. He's done it all. I trust in Him. and He is my hope. He is my hope. He is who I hope in because He's never lied to me. He's never left me and He's never forsaken me as many times as I've done that to Him. He's always held true to me. And I'm going to trust in Him. When was the last time you praised the Lord? Well, we just sang something. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. When was the last time you praised the Lord? When was the last time you gave Him the praise? When was the last time you said, thank you? We are good with throwing up a McDonald's order to Him all the time. When was the last time you said thank you for His answered prayer? So many times we throw up these prayers because, well, it's what we do. We pray. We pray. Sometimes not even believing that He'll answer. A lot of times we pray and we beseech the Lord and we ask Him to move on behalf, and He does. And somehow along the way, we take credit for it. No. If I'm ever going to grow, I need to learn to give praise. And I need to learn to give thanksgiving. Because when I learn to give thanks, it reveals my inability and puts it all on His ability. Okay, so let's bring this thing full circle. Jeremiah 17, you don't need to turn there. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8 says that the blessed man is like a tree that's planted by the waters. Her roots are spread by the rivers and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And is not going to be careful in the moment of drought. It shall not cease from bearing fruit. I butchered that. I know I did. All right? But we got the idea. One of my favorite sounds in the spring is the cottonwood trees blowing in the wind. Is that not one of the most beautiful sounds you've ever heard? I love cottonwood trees blowing in the wind. I don't like the white stuff that blows off of them because they make me sneeze. But there's just something majestic about hearing the trees praise the Lord. The trees praising the Lord. You know why God brings the wind for the trees? Because that tree is forced to rely on its roots. And when the wind hits it, it hurts. And when the wind hits it, it creaks and it moans. And when the wind hits it, it has to let go of the stuff that's going to hold it down. And when the wind hits it, it realizes and says, you know what, I think I need some more roots. And it spreads them out even further. We need the hard times. We need the difficult times. But in the midst of it, what's it doing? Praise the Lord. Just praising the Lord. That's where I want to be. I want to be in a spot where I'm planted in this soil. I want to be a spot where my roots are spreading wide because I need my stability. And I want to be a spot where God gets the praise. Because I'm not going to focus on my own ability. I'm going to focus on His. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You want to grow? Let's get that. Let's learn to trust in the Lord and allow God to be our hope. Yes, He's my rock, but He's also my provision. And I can't have growth without both. You can put that on a pillow. You can't have growth without both. I need them both. So let's stand together. We're going to get dismissed here in just a few moments, but I want you to have the opportunity to respond to God's word. Don't just hear it and leave the same way which you came. Did you know in the Old Testament, when somebody went to the temple, went to the house of God, they'd go in one gate and they weren't allowed to go out the same gate they came in. They had to leave through a different gate. Why? Because they're not going to leave the same way they came. I think that's a great principle for us. Don't come to God's house and leave the same way which you came. If God spoke to you, I don't care wherever, maybe it's not even in my message, maybe it's through something else. Let's do business with the Lord. Amen. I need it today. And so if that was just for me, thank you for sitting in. But I needed that today. And so here in just a few moments, I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to pray. Remember last week we said, take heed that you stand lest you fall. I don't want to fall. I don't want to give up. I want to keep persevering. I want to trust the Lord. And I'm going to pray. If God spoke to you, man, I want to invite you to come forward and pray and give this thing to the Lord, whatever it is, right? But whatever you do, do not leave here the same way. And if you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to get saved today. You need to meet Christ as your Savior. And so Kyla will be up here, and Mason will be up here, and love to talk with you more about taking the other room, open the Word of God, if you want to know more about that. So ladies, seek out Kyla. Men, seek out Mason. But man, I just need to pray. I need to do some business with the Lord, so I want to invite you to do the same. So you come.